This is Today in Nursing Leadership, a podcast from the American Organization for Nursing Leadership. I'm Bill Klaproth. With me is Muriel Moyo, Nursing Director, UCI Health Irvine, as we talk about how to reframe nursing ROI using complexity leadership and ANA's value model. Muriel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me here. I'm really excited to share my work.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're excited to hear about your work. So thank you so much for being here. So let's start with this. What inspired you to challenge the traditional view of nursing as a cost center?
Okay. So when you're looking at nursing, this is the largest workforce in healthcare. Everybody knows that. And yet the work of nurses is almost invisible. And by that, I mean it doesn't come up and show up on a spreadsheet. You will not ever see it in the bottom line. And yet, when you're looking at that work, really, that is what is driving our reimbursement. Nurses are preventing readmissions. Nurses are preventing hospital-acquired infections. Nurses are increasing efficiency in the hospital. And we know, when, and not just in the hospital, but overall, when nurses are efficient in the work that they do, you can get patients moving through the healthcare system quick, which then also ties back to reimbursement. So to then only look at nurses as a cost, and yet all of this work has value to it, and nobody ever actually really talks about that value or put a dollar amount to that value, is what really inspires me. I think it's time for us to change that narrative, because at the end of the day, this is the human capital that we have, and I really believe that nurses are the biggest asset that healthcare has.
Well, like you say, it is the biggest workforce in healthcare. And I think sometimes there is that perception that nurses are invisible. They're just kind of in the background doing their thing. So that really makes sense. So what is the ANA Nursing Human Capital Value Model, and how did you operationalize it in your unit?
So the ANA Human Capital Value Model is actually a new model that came up maybe in 2024, 2025. So when I came across this model, I was so excited. And the reason is it really maps out and helps nurses explain the value that we bring. That invisibility is really taken away by this model. So when you're looking at it, and there's a whole diagram that's there, so for those who can search this up and look at it, it's really designed in an engine-like style where all the work starts from investing in nurses. And this is more from whether it's engagement or if it's our organization putting money into investing in nurses, whatever it is, this investment that has to start from nursing. And once you do that and you get outcomes from your nurses, this is nurses being more engaged, wanting to go back to school, just dedicating to that invisible work, this then drives into patient outcomes. When you have a nurse that is giving their all because the organization is giving to them, they give right back to the patients. So then that drives into your patient or your societal outcomes. And I'm actually walking you through the ANA value model. And then this takes you down into the business outcomes. So once you have your nurse outcome, you start to see your patient outcomes, then you start to get into the business outcomes. When a nurse prevents, I'll say, a central line bloodstream infection, one central line bloodstream infection costs the organization $70,000. That is CMS data that we have on that. So if a unit used to have five central line bloodstream infections, they're called CLABSIs in short, when they start to prevent those infections, that's $350,000 that is costs that are avoided within the organization. So that work really preserves revenue, protects the organization revenue. Everybody's really worried about margins being thin, but think about nurses not doing their work, those margins would be thinner. So lastly, to close the loop in that circle, you have your nurse outcome, societal outcome, your business outcomes, then goes back to the nursing budget. Now that your nurse has brought this value, protected that revenue, let's put back into the nurses. Then it's a cycle. There's your return on investment. So that's really the ANA value model. So what I would say is I came across the ANA value model and it helped me to start speak the way I'm speaking now, which is what was missing before in this discussion, because it's intangible, invisible, and yet it's right there in everybody's face. So that's how I came across the ANA value model.
So Muriel, it sounds like the ANA value model really unlocked this for you.
Yes.
Would that be right?
Yes, that is true.
Okay, so then can you tell me, how do these frameworks translate into measurable improvements, including safety outcomes, workforce stability, and cost avoidance? How do these things do that?
So when you're looking at, so the other framework that I actually utilized to build, or at least to define the work or frame the work that I was doing in our medical ICU was what we call complex adaptive leadership. And that model really pushes more for, we take away leaders, or leaders move away from command and control or top-down type of leadership to more where we are working on getting solutions from the team, co-creating with the team. The leader, myself, is the facilitator. And that's the approach that I actually took as the, at that time, I was the nurse manager of the medical ICU. And with that complex adaptive leadership, I was able to address staff engagement within my nursing unit. So there's the investment in the human capital. So once our nurse engagement started to shift, then we had the innovation that was coming from the nurses. Solutions to the problems that we were having within the unit were starting to come from the nurses, which then started to translate into the patient outcomes. So in our medical ICU, we saw a great reduction in our infections. We went for 2 years without a catheter-associated urinary infection. We went for many months without central line bloodstream infections. So we were starting to see those outcomes within the nursing unit. So I sat down and reviewed what was happening within my own unit, looking at that ANA value model. And I was like, huh, here is the dollar amount that we actually have been able to save within our organization as a result of investing in the human capital model. So these frameworks, when you're tying them together, it's really addressing the staff engagement, which just trickles down into the patient outcomes that we're all looking for, and which really drives the work that we do as nurses.
So nurses get into the profession because they want to serve, they want to help. That's what they're trained for. But let's pick up on what you were just talking about.
Yes.
The barriers that nurse leaders commonly face when shifting conversations from cost to value. They're not ordinarily trained in that type of conversation or in that area. So how can they overcome that?
So I think one, we now have a framework that can help us to define that. So go in and look at your own nursing unit and you start to see the work that your nurses are doing. What is the value that is coming out from your teams within that? I feel a barrier we have is the language between nursing and finance, or our finance leaders, is not the same. So they're speaking from costs, they're looking at the ledgers, the balance sheets, the bottom line. And here we are as the nurse leaders, we're looking from that quality lens, the clinical lens, burnout, and yet we're not necessarily speaking in a language that also translates to our finance leaders. And that's on us, the nurses, really, to be able to articulate that in that language, while we're also helping our finance leaders open their ears to seeing where that quality piece is. But I just think it's a redefinition of how we speak. We know the work, we've got the data, it's now just being able to translate it to where our other leaders who are non-clinical are able to understand it.
Okay, let's look at it from the leadership perspective now.
Yeah.
Let's flip it. What advice would you give to executives who still view nursing primarily through a cost lens?
So I would say we do need to sit down and start opening up these books and maybe even creating dashboards that speak everybody's language. I think our executives, senior leaders, have that ability because they're able to view the organization from all of those lenses. Then from a nursing perspective, and even with the in partnership with our finance, let's start to translate that into those finance languages, which is the costs that have been saved, the revenue that has been protected, the margins that are being saved, right? If we can start to speak in those languages where everybody is now it's kind of at par at how they speak, that is how that can start to happen. But there has to be an openness to it, meaning invite us to the table, listen to us, and maybe even ask us what do we need so we can create this shared language together. We don't live in silos. And right now, there's kind of a silo mentality where finance is just looking at things from their finance lens. Nursing wants to speak from only a nursing lens. And yet we have an opportunity to break those silos and have shared language. So I think that's the challenge to our executives. Just bring us to the table and even bring leaders like myself who are at the front line, who are learning the finance language, but also have the clinical expertise to see how that can be tied into our work.
Nurses have so much knowledge and wisdom and experience. It would just make sense to tap into that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. You are so passionate about this. I can tell you love this. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
How did complex adaptive leadership influence your approach to leading a critical care workforce? How did you get into all this?
So in all honesty, it's part of it is networking. So this is how you learn when you are listening to other leaders. So I am a peer reviewer in the Nursing Management Journal, where I've met other board and a board member, and I've met other editorial board members who were discussing this complexity leadership and everything like that. So, Dr. Tim Porter Grady, really passionate about complex adaptive leadership. He just spoke to it's time for us to change and we can change our workforce. And in me listening to him say that, I was thinking of the work that I had done in our medical ICU. And I was able again to tie in that, okay, so I am taking a complex adaptive leadership approach to how I'm leading my team. So other leaders could do this. And I met with Dr. Porter O'Grady and we ended up actually writing an article together on this work and just trying to share the knowledge and spread the word to other nurse leaders that this is actually possible. And if I could do it in one medical ICU in one medical center, imagine how many medical ICUs, how many other medical centers, and not only that, but other nursing units, emergency departments, outpatient clinics can speak in the same language that I am. So that's what really got me into complex adaptive leadership. And I want every nurse leader to hear about this leadership approach, which is very different from our traditional leadership that we usually take on.
Well, your passion and your enthusiasm is contagious. So we just need to get you around because you're gonna bring it home for sure.
Oh, thank you.
So this is awesome. So for someone listening to this, what would be a great first step a nurse leader can take, let's say tomorrow, to begin reframing nursing's value within their own organization?
I think one aspect that I've learned about leadership, and I will reference human-centered leadership as well, which ties in well with this complex adaptive leadership, is really it starts with you. It starts with me as the nurse leader. And as you are leading your team, look at the work that they are doing. For me to bring all these ideas together, it was a little bit piecemeal until it came to where I was able to organize it in a way I was like, there's actually a method to this madness. And yet at first when you're doing it, it does feel like it's a little bit of madness, right? Because you are just kind of touching on this because our operations are very complicated. So the best place to start is just look at your own unit. What is the work that you are doing? So I'll go back to the inpatient setting. We are very focused on reducing hospital-acquired infections. We want to reduce our costs as it relates to use of travelers, so contract labor. We want to reduce overtime. So that's already part of your operation, your daily work. What are you doing to reduce that or to keep that from getting out of control or out of hand? Whatever approach you are using with that, that's a method that you can then share with someone else to say, this is the work that I'm doing. So the very grassroots work that they need to do is to look at what are they held accountable to within their organization, what methods, approaches, frameworks they are using to address that. Then we can always translate that into dollars. CMS publishes costs for hospital-acquired infections. So you can put a dollar amount when you prevent that. If you are reducing overtime within your department, you can translate that to FTEs. You can translate that to dollar amounts. So you can then say, I saved this amount of money by preventing overtime within my unit. So let's look at our basic operation, track what we're doing, and then you can call your finance partners to help you translate it into a dollar amount. But we could certainly do it ourselves as nurses too.
Well, that's a great way to start, Muriel. That's really good. So look at your units, start to track what you're doing, and look where you can make changes to reduce things, etc.
Yes.
Wow, this has been great. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us, Muriel. It's great.
Thank you for having me. And I just appreciate AONL having this platform to share our work as nurse leaders and giving a voice to frontline leaders about the work that we're doing. Without platforms like this, this work is being done at UCI Health in California, and no one else knows about it. So by doing this, someone can learn, take it within their organization. And what I really would love to see is the scaling up of this. I really genuinely believe as nurses, as nurse leaders, we can take this to scale. Mm-hmm. And we can change that narrative beyond us trying to always negotiate, asking for what we want. And yet everybody could easily be able to demonstrate this within their organizations and just ask our finance partners to then bring back some of the dollar, the values that we're bringing, the value we're bringing back into nursing so nursing can grow. That's the big ask. Let's keep that cycle and get some return on the investment we're putting in our nurses.
Well, it's an important conversation to have, and I think we need to start having it as we start moving from thinking from cost to value. And that's what this is all about.
Yes.
Thank you again, Muriel. This has been great.
Thank you, Bill. This was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, that is Muriel Moyo. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you at aonl.org/nursing-leadership-podcast. This is Today in Nursing Leadership. Thanks for listening.